So, budgets, deficits, and can you take the pumpkin spice thing too far? I don't think so.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for November 13th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I guess you can hear us drinking. You're drinking your water, I'm drinking my coffee.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, well, apparently we're hydrating. Well, you're hydrating.
I'm
dehydrating because, you know, caffeine.
Apparently that's not, we hear mixed messages on that now. First they say it dehydrated, now they say that liquids, even in coffee, is still good.
Well, but sitting is the new cancer, right?
The new smoking.
Oh, whatever.
It's bad.
I'm not kidding. I should put that in the strip, actually. We heard that from our cousin, who is younger.
I read that somewhere.
Did you
before
really? This is actually a
that
thing?
Yes.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Yes. The new thing that's bad for your health.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Really bad.
Well, we sit when we do this, so we should probably stand. I'm also wearing a leather coat. Can you hear that?
Okay.
I'm just saying that it's loud.
It is loud. Why didn't you take it off?
This is because it's chilly in here.
Okay.
Do cows get annoyed by this, do you think? Do you think they make this sound when they walk?
Maybe. That would be funny. I don't think they're leathered then. They do a process to it to make it all stiff and leathery.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about the strip show. Started off with talking about midterms. Midterms are less than a year away now. Think about that. The midterm elections. Yeah. Ugh. It's going to be weird. And if the Roy Moore stuff, which I haven't commented on yet in the strip, I just finished writing a few days ago and did not put that in there. I probably should have, huh?
I'm sure there'll be time.
Oh, I suspect this story will stick around for a while. We lived in Alabama I worked at the Birmingham News for 13 years, and so I know Roy Moore. I'm just going to leave it at that, and you'll have to read the strip because I didn't care for the good judge.
No, you always drew him with wild eyes.
That's because he's crazy and not very smart. Other than that, anyway, so the week started with the Carmen Winslow going the GOP budget road trip, and the road goes down. Taxes makes it really easy. Tax cuts, super easy, and then you hit deficits, and that's when things get a little more interesting. So I imagine we had a lot of comments this week.
You did. Kyle of LaCalche said, "Yeah, the $1.5 trillion addition to the deficit is so indicative of the choke fiscal conservatives." To which Wagner in Atlanta responded, "Of course, that's over 10 years. When Obama added $1.5 trillion to the debt of each year of his first term, I don't recall you complaining. Or when he added $1.17 trillion each year of his 8 years, I don't remember hearing from you, hypocrite."
Who's the hypocrite, him or me?
He's saying Kyle is.
Oh, okay.
They're talking to each other.
Okay.
So I'm saying they responded, to which Timothy responded, "But I did hear the GOP complaining and complaining loudly. Many of those who demanded the government be shut if we don't see cuts to spending to control the deficit are now cheering on higher and higher deficits to get their tax cuts."
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I'm one of the few deficit hawks left in the world, I think. I'm pretty sure I am, because I'm one of the few ones who is talking about this as part of the tax package, which is not a bad package, quite frankly. But the problem with it, as it always is how do you pay for these things? And you have to have cuts. And it's always a cut against a program that's like, you know, doughy-eyed children's fund for education, medical something. You know, it's these things aren't made out of whole cloth. There is a reason, there is a purpose, and there's usually a calling to why this legislation is passed in the first place. But we can't afford to do everything. So you need grown-ups. And yeah, Jenny, I had a conversation with someone. You know, I read I like biographies. I finished recently in the last year or so, read a biography of Calvin Coolidge. And it really was not, the thing that grabbed me was once a day, he would sit down with the Secretary of the Treasury for at least an hour and they'd go over the budget line by line. And I can't tell you how many people I said this to who said, "I don't want my president doing that." I'm going, that's exactly what I want my president doing.
What do they want the president to be doing? They want someone else to be doing that, right? The president to be doing other things?
I have no idea.
A very long time.
It would, especially now the budget's back then. It was, I think, in the, you know, close to just over $100 million or close to $100 million. Obviously, now it's a lot more than that. But I still like the idea of the chief executive having that in-depth idea of where my money is, or at least, you know, his team, his financial team. would know line by line where this money is going. And I don't think that's too much to ask. You know, we don't. If I invested in a company, I would want the CEO and his team to know how much they were spending on the company. That's just my take, and maybe that's impossible. But I don't think it's unreasonable to expect some level of responsibility. You know, who was it who said the fiscal conservatives? I mean, there's no such thing anymore.
Right, that's what he was saying. That's why he put it in quotation.
They don't exist anymore. We can't cut defense spending. We have to increase. You know, we do have enemies, and we are the last standing superpower, and that's the price you pay. But we don't have the Soviet Union anymore. We don't have the Cold War. The wars that are coming up are going to be small. The wars that are coming up are going to be clandestine. We don't need an Aegis destroyer for $2 billion. It's reasonable to cut these things, but no one is willing to stand up because that's not what being a Republican these days means. Used to mean there were some men and women in the House and the Senate who were grown-ups and responsible, and those days are gone, and it's making me nuts. So what other comments do we have?
Well, Ignat says, and he quoted Dick Cheney, who said, "Reagan proved that deficits don't matter." And then he said, "Republicans only care about deficits when Democrats are in power, and some people still believe them. Spending always skyrockets under Republicans."
Well, exactly. In fact, we have, you know, as this tax program goes forward, and it has some Art Laffer vis-a-vis, you know, trickle-down economics in it, the fact of the matter is those cuts that Reagan had in the 80s worked. The economy took off and went with the longest peacetime expansion of the economy ever. And what made it not work, what made the deficits go up, because guess what? Tax revenues actually went up when they cut the taxes, because the economy did so much better. So many more people were employed. They were able to pay income taxes. But the spending of the House and the Senate outstripped the increased income. It doesn't make any sense to me. Spend what you have. I always thought zero-sum spending made a lot of sense to me, quite frankly. That is, you actually budget to the money you have versus the money you think you're going to have. It puts a fiscal discipline on you that these guys don't seem to have. And so it drives me crazy. I mean, and like, this is, it's not just, you and I are old. You know, we're going to be dead before the real repercussions of this kick in. But if this package goes through, we're going to see, for a short period of time, we're going to see an incredible burst in the economy. It's going to be great. 2 years of just phenomenal. Wow, this is awesome. And then it's going to go.
I think so. What about when you can't deduct your mortgage payments?
Well, that's going to be that, but there's also going to be, in my view, there's going to be more jobs. There's going to be competition for jobs, which means salaries will go up. You're starting to see a very mild, very modest uptick in income, and I think that's going to accelerate over the next 2 years. I think the next 2 years are going to be awesome, and then not so much, because the deficit will have doubled. And we're going to be in serious, serious doo-doo, as a former president once said.
Well, some people think that the deficit doesn't really matter.
They do say that.
You just print money and it doesn't make much difference. And according to the New Republic, many economists believe that the balanced budgets take money out of the hands of ordinary Americans who can put it to more productive uses through job creation and consumer spending. The deficit only matters once you reach full employment, when overheated consumer demand can lead to inflation.
Okay. Well, I think we're heading in that direction. But I would also argue that during the Clinton administration, when they had the tax increase then, they were able to pay down the deficit. And the economy did quite well. It was quite solid in those years.
Well, Coffee Cup, speaking of Clinton, says, "Yeah, remember how Bush balanced the budget? Me neither. He took Clinton's balanced budget and gave it away. I wonder why President Obama couldn't get it back in balance after that. I do fall him for caving in and saving the Bush tax cuts, the source of the deficit. Maybe he knew the Republicans wouldn't care about deficits ever again."
I know this is going to sound strange coming from a conservative, but I'm going to defend President Obama, because please remember, none of this happens in a vacuum. The historic context, he came in and he inherited a big, steaming turd burger when he took office. The Great Recession was raging. I think his approach to the economy was to first do no harm. People are going to argue that healthcare and Obamacare did do harm. But overall, I think that very conservative, with a small c, approach to the economy is what we're talking about here and why they didn't balance it and why they couldn't. I mean,
well,
the economy
also,
just wouldn't have allowed it.
Several people commented that the war was not on the books. It was used as emergency funding, and Obama put it back into the budget.
Yeah, no, it was that was again, that's a Republican, administration not paying its bills or trying to hide its bills. It's like buying a second house and just like not letting your accountant know you bought it. You know, that would create all sorts of havoc and hijinks. And they didn't sue.
They did.
They did. Any other comments we need to get to?
Well, we were discussing, you had mentioned the, I thought it was a very funny gag, the pumpkin spice budget.
Yes. I thought that was a funny gag.
Was
I was very
funny.
Pleased with that.
And Darson 54 said, Carmen is promoting this budget proposal? Hashtag sad. Where Coffee Cup says, I don't think she's promoting it. I think she's mocking it. The first panel sums it up.
Yeah, I think, no, clearly Carmen. Carmen is the conservative side of me, and I don't like budgets that aren't balanced. In our married life, in our family life, our budget is balanced. We, at the end of the year, we have to have more money than we put out, or, you know, we have to sell one of the children. I like them.
And besides, they're grown up, they get to sell themselves.
Ah, pshaw. They're always our kids, believe me. they always are. I have to stop myself from like trying to fix his hair or something. That's ridiculous. No, you know, it tells me why our parents treated us the way they treated
right,
us.
Right, so you have a little more understanding for your own parents.
Yes, yes, I love them. So is that it for this
That's
week?
It.
Okay, cool. Janine, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to WGN Plus for letting us use their equipment and for taking up space. And thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Seed Podcast. I really do appreciate it. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen Winslow, I really would strongly urge you to go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. Go ahead and register. And if you want, you can actually get us mailed to you. So you don't have to search too far. And if you like what you see, go ahead and hit like. I'm going to be shameless here. Go ahead and
self-promotion,
man. Go ahead and register. Go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and like. Just do everything you possibly can to make our lives just a little better, and by extension, your life will be better. Am I right? I am.
You're always right.
Mostly right. Occasionally right. Okay, right-ish. Right-like. Anyway, okay. So that does it for this week's edition. Thanks again. If you want to keep up, like I said, go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. Leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. Also, if you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you. Just write pricklycity@gmail.com. And again, can't thank you enough. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.